American Film Magazine recently named my guest Ed Pressman Producer of the Decade, and he's the only living film producer ever honored with a retrospective of his work at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Pressman is known for taking chances on new directors. He produced Oliver Stone's first film, The Hand, and has since worked with him on Wall Street and talk radio. He brought Terrence Malick's first feature to the screen, the critically acclaimed Badlands, and David Byrne's True Stories. He worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger on Conan the Barbarian and with Sylvester Stallone on Paradise Alley. And he oversaw the Alex Cox fiasco, Walker. Pressman produced three films that are currently showing in theaters, Reversal of Fortune, To Sleep with Anger, and Waiting for the Light. Reversal of Fortune is a film about Klaus von Bülow, who was found not guilty of attempting to murder his wife, Sunny, who is still in a coma. It was directed by Barbe Schroeder and based on a book by Alan Dershowitz, who was von Bülow's lawyer. Pressman told me how he ended up making the Dershowitz book into a film.
Ilan Dershowitz, Alan's son, was a young postgraduate looking to get into the film business and took like a entry-level job with my company to be my driver, which is usually a film student's kind of job. And he was working with me for, I guess, about 9 months. And I really didn't know who his father was or much about him or much about the von Bülow case, except what I read in the papers sort of vaguely. He showed me a manuscript of Reversal of Fortune, the book that his father was had written, just for advice on what I thought might be done with it, and I responded to it immediately as something that I thought could be a film.
Were you ever concerned that having Alan Dershowitz as a co-producer, that it might become something, that there might be a lot of pressure on you to show Dershowitz in a good light, you know, because you had the son of the main character in the movie co-producing the movie with you, and of course his father is a really high-powered lawyer and knows how to get his way on things.
Well, I think that if I thought that we weren't going to be able to operate with the kind of freedom that was necessary, I wouldn't have gotten involved. I believed, and it turned out to be the case, that Ilan understood very clearly the kind of freedom that we needed. He was open-minded. He's very aware of his father's foibles and the kind of criticism he sometimes provokes. I think Barbe, when he started, was very concerned, as he suggested, that it could inhibit him. And he was wary and kept Ilan out of the meetings for a while. Slowly, Ilan gained their confidence, and he was welcomed as a very valuable contributor, and it wasn't a problem.
As a producer, I'm sure you do a lot of your work on the telephone. To give us a sense of what your day-to-day job is like, what were some of the phone calls you got and you made today?
Let's see, I was on the phone with Ken Lipper, who's a Wall Street fellow, friend who was our advisor on Wall Street, the movie, who we're working with on a project about mayoral politics. Ken was a deputy mayor of New York, and we're working with Nick Pileggi and Paul Schrader on a script. I talked to Paul Schrader about that because Nick and Paul and Ken had a meeting over the weekend while I was away on Thanksgiving holiday, and they were both reporting about their meeting, so we had several discussions about that. I talked to John Shirley, who's a writer, about a project he and Bill Gibson have written called Macrochip, a kind of cyberpunk screenplay. And I had sent John Shirley a screenplay that I had called Stars My Destination, an Alfred Bester book. And since Shirley's a science fiction fanatic, I thought I'd get his opinion of the script that we had. Talked to Goldwyn Company about To Sleep with Anger over the weekend. Discussed the kind of ads that might be put in the paper this coming week.
Let me stop you there. You're mentioning the ads for To Sleep with Anger. This has been pretty controversial lately. There's a lot of, some people feel that the marketing campaign hasn't been good enough toward potential black viewers. This is a film by Charles Burnett about a black extended family, a middle-class family in Los Angeles. The grandparents are from the South, and a wayward old friend from the South comes to visit and brings with him violence and a disregard for work and family. The film hasn't been doing very well commercially, and there's been many more white than black viewers going. And some people think it's because the advertising campaign hasn't really been geared to a black audience. So what do you think? You produced the movie.
Opening the film, we had a very limited amount of money to advertise the film based on the way the whole thing was financed, which was very difficult in the first place. And a good amount of it was spent trying to open the film as a much more wide kind of release in Atlanta and a couple of other cities where a lot of television was bought and radio. And because Danny Glover was in it, there was a feeling that maybe the film would play to that kind of wide audience that many of his films have attracted. And it didn't work. It didn't play to the middle-class audience, white or black. And what we came to see was that it was really a film that had to be platformed very carefully to a sophisticated audience, as I said, black or white, and allow the film to build. Unfortunately, we'd spent so much of the money that we had on the tests in the first markets that we really haven't had a lot left to keep it alive. But fortunately, it seems to be growing. The general results this week are up over last week, and that's unusual.
The Japanese audio company Matsushita, manufacturers of Panasonic, Quasar, and Technics, just bought MCA. What do you think that's going to mean for the movie business?
Well, I think it's will basically reinforce the strength of MCA as Sony's investment reinforced the strength of Columbia, and generally continues the concentration of power among a very few very strong companies, the major studios. And I think the companies that are sort of middle-sized companies like Orion or MGM now are the ones that suffer, because these are companies that are competing directly with the majors, and they don't have the financial strength that a company like Matsushita can bring to it.
I think for
independent companies like ours, I think it's actually potentially a very good thing.
Why?
Because these big companies, they need software, and they cannot provide it all themselves, so they've become almost umbrella-like companies. And many independent companies have now aligned themselves with the studios, companies like Morgan Creek and Imagine and Largo, and there are many independent companies that now distribute films through major studios. In the old days, that was a very rare thing. The old Goldwyn Company or Selznick Company produced some great movies, but they were very few and in terms of numbers and influence on the general distribution pattern, it was really very limited. The independent companies that distribute through majors are now much more important. They probably supply close to half of the films being made now.
A lot of directors talk about how their movie ended up being subjected to a focus group who kind of voted on the kind of ending that they wanted, and then the director had to change the ending of the movie if the end of the movie didn't play very well to the focus group. Do you ever do that with movies you've produced? Do a screening and see what the response is and alter the movie to get a better response?
It really depends on the director. Some directors really welcome that opportunity. Some directors, I don't know, Oliver Stone for one, don't want to hear about it.
What's a movie that you've tested and changed? Is there one?
We tried different endings with Barbe Schroeder's, you know, complicity on Reversal.
Mm-hmm.
And the very end of the film, I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Jeremy Irons in the drugstore.
Yeah.
Was something that we weren't sure if it was, you know, too cute or if it would work. And it when we tested it, we saw clearly that it was an effective way to end the movie.
What are your greatest frustrations in the movie business?
Well, sometimes, you know, making a film that you spend so long on and believe in so much and seeing it, you know, disappear in no time. We just did a film called Waiting for the Light with a young Welsh filmmaker, Chris Munger, with Shirley MacLaine and Terry Garr, and I thought it was a lovely film, which had been very well received in England and Canada, and the critics here really didn't like it, and the film was gone in 2 weeks, and that's frustrating.
So what happens then? Does the film go to video?
Yeah, sure.
So that's a help. I mean, the film doesn't die altogether.
Right.
Did you ever give up on a film yourself? Did you ever say, God, I know this isn't going to play. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I'm going to cut out now, cut my losses.
No, it's hard enough to get films made without getting into things that you don't believe in. I think that I always believe that the films we're doing, you know, are wonderful and are going to be very popular. And I've never lost that confidence in the process of doing a film.
Ed Pressman, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ed Pressman produced the films Reversal of Fortune and To Sleep with Anger.